Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Central. And there are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. Hey, when you're at church this Sunday, look around the congregation and see if there's a group of people missing. That group is people born between 1978 and 1998. You guessed it, they are the millennial generation. Joining us to shed some light on why millennials are leaving the church and how your church can reach them is church consultant David Stark. He's the author of Reaching Millennials. Good morning, David. Welcome to Faith Radio.
Good morning, Bill.
Great to have you with us. So let's first start off with, what do the numbers say? Is it true that the vast majority of millennials simply don't go to church?
Yeah, and it depends on who you're talking to. But clearly at least 36% of the millennials would consider themselves in the category of spiritual but not religious, or sometimes called the nuns, not the nuns that wear caps, but the N-O-N-E-S nuns. And other studies will say about 80% or over have a negative point of view towards Christianity at the moment.
Which is really sad. And you mentioned the nuns, they check the little box instead of, you know, checking when they're talking to ask about, you know, their religious beliefs or religious preference. Instead of checking, you know, Protestant, Catholic, Jewish, they check none on that little box there. When they are asked in surveys, what are some of the reasons that millennials give for not being involved in church?
The large, really concerning ones are is they consider us the against people. So we're against this and we're against that. That's one of them. One of them that's very high usually is judgmental. The most concerning one to me is that 85%, or it's bigger than that actually, it's 90-some percent, know Christians, but only about 15% of them think that the lifestyle is worth emulating. So, unfortunately, in many cases, it's direct experience that from their lenses is turning them off.
Yeah, I've talked to the Barna Group president, David Kinnaman, about this. And I'm sure you're very familiar with their research, and had David on the program a couple of weeks ago. And I asked him, I said, you know, how much of this is the media? Obviously, the media has a bias against evangelical Christianity. That's very clear. It's been clear for years. And you look at pretty much any major, you know, primetime show or cable movie, and the gay individual is always presented as, you know, smart and funny and heroic, and the Christian is bigoted and backwards and uneducated, and you name it. And I asked him that. I said, how much of that is the media? And he said, unfortunately, because yes, a lot of it is, but he said, unfortunately, it's direct experience, as you just said. It's millennials interacting with Christians that they know, and they see them as judgmental. And when you say their lifestyle, they're not attracted to the Christian lifestyle, is that because they see the Christian lifestyle as narrow-minded, or is it because they see it as, frankly, no fun? And we know that millennials just want to have fun. At least a lot of surveys show that.
Unfortunately, Bill, what they experience the most is law. In other words, what they're feeling from the Christian church is part of the law. It's not part of grace. In other words, outsiders in the Gospels and in the epistles, that Jesus and the apostles went towards outsiders in a very specific way because the gospel was by far the top priority. Because everything else is temporary and God's love for everybody is so dramatic. And unfortunately, what they experience many times is law and not grace. And consequently, they run for the hills because they don't know God. And so that's what they end up experiencing most of the time, Bill.
So it's rules and regulations, thou shalt not, instead of thou shalt.
Instead
of here are the positive things.
Yep, and especially, you know, since they don't know God, and that's what they end up thinking that God is, therefore, if that's at least represented by what they experience a lot of the time.
Which is tragic that they don't come to know the fact that they have a loving Heavenly Father who cares about them so deeply, and that the way to him is a free gift and not a bunch of hoops that we have to jump through.
And part of that is realize the millennials have been marketed to since they've been 0 years old, which means that words are cheap to them. What matters to them is what they see in lifestyle, in action, in attitude, because they know immediately they can get on the web and find, 25 worldviews in about 20 minutes. And so, what they use many times as their barometer is, what do I see and experience as opposed to what do I hear?
And that reminds us so much of what Jesus often said to the Pharisees, and how external behavior is not what God is concerned about. It's the heart. And go ahead.
I just say God's radically in love with these people that are outside our walls, and really wants us to lead with that, in both not just with our words, but in how they experience us. And a lot of people are really trying. I mean, it's not that they're not. It's just that aggregately, that's not getting through to as the major message that the millennials are receiving.
We're talking to David Stark. He is the author of Reaching Millennials. Coming up next, some practical things that your church can do and that you can do personally to reach this unreached people group, if we can call them that. That's coming up next year on the Faith Radio Network. Stick with us. Good morning. Welcome back. 18 past the hour here at Faith Radio. Are you an aspiring writer? Hey, Faith Radio has a writer's contest going on right now, and it's open to you. We would love to receive your fiction or nonfiction submission. And here's the topic we're looking at this time. It's redemption. Maybe you could write a story on redemption and submit it to us. The winners will be chosen by a panel of judges. And then, this is the cool part, they're going to be invited to attend a writer's luncheon with acquisition editors from Bethany House and Baker Publishing Group. You could actually sit down with one of the folks that makes the decisions on, what books they publish, and maybe it'll be yours. And also, if you're not a writer, but you want to help decide the winners of our writer's contest, just go to faithradio.com and cast your vote. All the info at myfaithradio.com. Just look for the writer's contest banner there on the homepage. Well, my guest is David Stark. He is the author of Reaching Millennials. David is a church consultant from the Twin Cities area. And David, even though millennials may check that little box that says none when asked about their religious affiliation, it seems to me that they are a generation that is really hungry for meaning and purpose in life. Am I right?
Absolutely, they are. And most of them anyway, are on spiritual journeys. And so, consequently, one of the real practical things that I can say right away is don't torpedo their spiritual journey, even if it's not the one that is parallel with us, for a lot of reasons. But probably the first reason is that if you look at Cornelius in the book of Acts, God was actually honoring those parts of his journey that were parallel with things that are Christian. He was praying, he was giving to the poor. Many of these people have spiritual hunger, and one of them being meaning and purpose, as you just said. And it's a good thing, because the apostles and Jesus built bridges where they could. Obviously, there's bridges where they couldn't, but they built bridges where they could.
Hmm. So in other words, if they don't have necessarily accurate theology, come down on them and say, well, let me tell you the true way.
Right.
That's not going to go over real well.
Because, game over on the conversation.
Yeah.
But you can talk about those things with them and then talk about, here are the spiritual practices that really connect me to God. And now I'm in a conversation as opposed to, just a wall going up immediately with them, for example.
Well, my perception is asking questions is always the best way to go with that. And I'm thinking
absolutely.
Tim Keller.
Because that gets into the depth. And they have many of the needs and hurts, issues and pain that it's common to all people. And when they realize that we're not perfect people or forgiven people that are in the process and journey of becoming whole, they can identify with that. They realize that, I have a good friend of mine who's got a big church in Minneapolis, and as you walk in the door, the sign says, no perfect people allowed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which sends a message right away that we're from a vulnerable place, that we're all sinners, but more importantly, that the love of God, the love, acceptance, and forgiveness of Christ has met us in whatever condition we start from.
Well, I know we have some pastors and church leaders listening right now, David. What are some of the other barriers that tend to keep millennials from coming to faith in Christ and actually joining a church?
There's a few of them, but the ways that they could engage are they're on completely different communication systems in general. And so part of it is taking seriously that your website will be the front door, not your front door. That's one practical thing that's really important today. I think secondly is a lot of things they would like to experience with us. So they'd love to serve. For example, in Minneapolis is a big Feed My Starving Children area, and I had a big congregation actually invite their friends. They're all over that. So rather than thinking of the service part of your ministry only as internal, open it up to outsiders to join us.
Oh, David, that's such a great idea. We did that actually at my church, and my kids were there as well. Invited some friends and neighbors, and it's not something where they're going to hear a sermon. It's not something where they're going to have to sit down, stand up, and figure out where the song is in the hymnal. They're just going to be doing something that they know is making a difference. And Feed My Starving Children is so clear about what you were doing in that auditorium or, that gym where you're packing that food, what you're doing, where it's going to go, those photos of those kids that you're helping. And boy, what a great opportunity for millennials. As you said, they're looking to make a difference. They want their life to have purpose and meaning. So, hey, come with us. Come with us as our church, as these friends of mine who are followers of Jesus Christ are doing this really cool thing to help hungry kids around the world.
Exactly. And there's many, many local service stuff that we forget. Well, if we invite them to join us, we've got common ground where all of the stereotypes can drop, because trust is the opening issue always now with the millennials. Do we have things that we can actually relate over? And does the smell test of grace and love, is that what I'm really experiencing? Many times they really do. They're all over that. I had a friend of mine, for example, who had met some people on a plane, and of course it came up that he was a pastor, et cetera. So they came to his church. They were scary looking people for that congregation. They were bikers, and they had all kinds of tattoos and stuff, and which is commonplace out there, but it was really weird for this. They made an appointment with him afterwards and said, we'd like to be missionaries. About dropped out of his chair. He said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, we don't know about the God stuff, but we'd like to be missionaries. And that's, again, it's that heart of impact.
Wow.
That heart of giving back. I mean, we got to be all over that in terms of come be with us in whatever it is that we're doing. And they're also all over communities, one of the other big things. I mean, they want to be, they're already in tribes, if you will. Their social networks have had everything. And so the idea of any kind of community bridges we can build on common ground is a fabulous bridge also.
Now, in addition to service projects, which I just think is wonderful, you mentioned that churches really need to think outside the box when it comes to events, to reach millennials with events. What type of events are you talking about, David?
So a lot of them would love to engage with practical things. So the entire small group ministry, for example, of churches, if we include them in the group processes, mothers of teens, you know, it could be a divorce recovery, it could be the whole caring system, but it also can be all of the kind of what are my gifts and talents and how do I use them in the world stuff. This stuff that's practical like that, a fathering team, how you be a better dad, I can go on and on about that. So the small group ministry, if it's inclusive of outsiders, they get to eavesdrop on how Christians are working on the same things that they are. So there's a whole big set of stuff there. But also there's larger sort of educational events that they would like to be a part of. For example, one church I'm working with is really talking about how do parents cope with this open technological world that their kids are being exposed to.
Right.
Well, Christians and non-Christians alike are concerned about those issues. And so putting on workshops that allow us to say, how do I stay in the game about this? You know, again, they get to enter into places that are as much concerned to us as they are to many of them. And so however we help with that, that's a great thing. And there's just many, many, many events that are learning-based, small group-based, or even equipping-based that they would want to be a part of.
Some great advice. Once again, David's book, which is designed for your church and for you personally, is called Reaching Millennials. Folks, if folks want to reach you, how do they do that?
My website platform is called represent.church. I'm talking about representing the gospel, if you will. These younger generations are representing the way the apostles and Jesus approached outsiders. So you can go there, and the book is there, but also to contact me, because I have a process called Engage and Grow. So my goal is not just to talk about all the ways we can, but to roll up my sleeves with congregations and actually do it together. So that's called the Engage and Grow process. You can tell me whether you're interested in doing that. So those are, that's one great way. My email is the letter dstark@businesskeys.com. dstark@businesskeys.com. I also consult with businesses, so that's
very
why
cool.
the business name.
Thank you, David. We appreciate your time today and your heart for reaching this unreached people group. Have a wonderful day.
You too, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.